In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who hast given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by thy Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of thee, and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name, he giveth the power to become sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. It is he who remembered us in our low estate, for his steadfast love endures forever. And rescued us from our foes. He who gives food to all flesh. Give thanks to the God of heaven. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Without end. Amen.
Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, in your deep compassion, you rescued us from whatever may hurt us. Teach us to love you above all things, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading is taken from Leviticus, the 18th and 19th chapter. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the people of Israel, and say to them, I am the Lord your God. You shall not do as they do in the land of Egypt where you lived, and you shall not do as they do in the land of Canaan, to which I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. You shall follow my rules and keep my statutes and walk in them. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my rules. If a person does them, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to the edge. Neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. And you shall not strip your vineyard bare. Neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. You shall not lie to one another. You shall not swear by my name falsely, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages of a hired servant shall not remain with you all night until the morning. You shall not cure the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall do no injustice in the court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great, but in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people. And you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is taken from Colossians, the first chapter. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you. Since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You may be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his is the word of the Lord. How How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Behold, a lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among the robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed down by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these 3 do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." Here endeth the gospel. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, only Son of our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and stood on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The lawyer who stood up to test our Lord Jesus knew the law. Of course, our Lord Jesus knew the law as well. And he knew it better, for he himself is the true embodiment of the law of God, and he is its fulfillment. There, of course, is a great difference between knowing the law according to head knowledge as an academic subject and walking in the law. A difference between the law as a matter of scholarly study and truly being shaped and conformed to the will of God, the perfect man in the image of God. And so this lawyer stands up to test Jesus, asking, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus turns the question back around on him. "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And the lawyer answered well. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." But the lawyer's conscience begins to prick at the word of the law which he just confessed with his lips. The Holy Spirit, through the law, was doing his work. Love your neighbor as yourself. But as is so often the case, when our guilty conscience comes face to face with the law of God, when the inestimable light shines into the darkness of our soul, the lawyer does not submit to its judgment and repent, but he seeks an escape. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" He must be thinking, if the category of neighbor is small enough, I might just be able to fulfill the law. And as is common with our Lord, he answers with a parable, which speaks more than any direct answer could. For in this parable, we see three answers to the lawyer's question, "Who is my neighbor?" Christ himself is our neighbor. The one in need that God has placed into your life is your neighbor. And your call is to be the good neighbor. When we approach a parable, it is often helpful for us to try to identify who is who in the parable. What figure represents what? Who are you in the parable, if you look at yourself honestly? And who should you be? Who do you want to be and who do you not want to be? Apart from God, we are all the man on the journey from Jerusalem to Jericho, robbed and mugged by sin, half dead, lying on the side of the road, unable to help ourselves, left to die in our trespasses. And then we see three figures that come along, a priest, a Levite, and a Samaritan. The priest and the Levite represent the lawyer and those like him who have an academic grasp of the law, a theoretical knowledge, but the word of God does not live in them and it does not move them. They see the man in need and they are not moved by compassion and love, which is at the heart of the law, but instead they pass by on the other side. Indeed, they justify their inaction by the very law which commands them to act. If they touch the man who is bloody and mangled, maybe even dead, they will be ritually unclean. Better not get involved. Better not dirty themselves. How often this is the case even for ourselves. When we see a friend or family member or even a co-worker and turn a blind eye to them in order to follow a more comfortable way. And then we assuage our conscience, we try to justify ourselves with this excuse or that excuse. But then comes the Samaritan, a man from the north, a foreigner, despised and rejected by the Jews. Who is the Samaritan? Most properly speaking, he is none other than the Lord Christ himself, who descends from above, from a different kingdom, the kingdom of God, and yet was rejected and despised by those whom he came to save. And he does not pass by on the other side. He does not pass by us. No, in mercy and compassion, he comes to our aid. He washes our sin-infected wounds with the anointing of his own blood, and he binds us up in the forgiveness of sins through his word and his sacraments. He carries us by his own power to the inn, which is the Holy Christian Church, where he daily of his own store provides for us all that we need. He is our true neighbor, who does not ignore our needs, but in himself embodies the fullness of the law, which is the law of love. And here we see the most miraculous thing for us and for our salvation. What is law for him? What is duty and obligation for him? That which costs him everything, the shedding of his own blood for our redemption, is the gospel for us. A free gift of compassion and mercy given purely of his own store for us and for our salvation. And in this we see the second point about our neighbor. Christ has come down to bind us up and save us because according to the eternal will of the Father, we are the neighbors that God has given him to save. And his salvation is for the whole world, because his divinity, his storehouse, is infinite. Who does he have the power to save? All people. But when we ask the question, who is my neighbor? The needs of the world are inestimable, and our resources are finite. If we tried to care for every need, we'd immediately be destitute, unable to support our own body and life, much less our closest neighbors who depend on us. And so we must look to the example of the Samaritan to find out who our neighbor is that we are called to serve. Why is it that the Samaritan was called to help this dying man on the side of the road? And why is it that the priest and the Levite who passed by on the other side sinned in doing so? Certainly, there were other beaten and dying men in the world that they did not help. It is because this man was placed in their path by God's providence. He was the one that God had put into their life, and they had the means to help. And so it was to this man that they were called. And so when we consider the question of who is my neighbor, we must consider who is it that God has placed into my life, and who is in my power to help. It is a question of vocation. What place and station has God given me, and what neighbors has he placed into my path? Are you a husband? Then your wife is your closest neighbor, your first and primary call by divine command. God has placed her into your life, and her needs are in your hands, that you should minister to her first, followed closely by your children, whom the Lord has entrusted to you. Are you a wife? Then the answer is the same. God has given you your husband to be your closest neighbor, followed closely by your children. And together you each sacrifice and serve your children, and in so doing, you serve one another. And this is important for us to stress. In the midst of a disordered and sickened culture, our culture that has so assaulted and degraded God's divine institution of marriage. In the Ordo Amoris, the order of loves, our spouse is next only to God himself, according to God's holy word. They are your closest neighbor, other than the Lord Christ, who himself dwells on the throne of your heart. Who is your neighbor? Your husband, your wife, your children. Those who are with you in the house. Aspect of the parable either. If one error could be that we interpret our neighbor as every person everywhere in the world, and in caring for them, we fail to care for those that God has specifically told us to care for. The other egregious error would be to think like the lawyer did, as the priest and the Levite did, that we are called only to help those who are our kith and kin. Christ, who is the Good Samaritan, came and died for us, who were by nature his enemies. And so the Samaritan cared for a Jew, who was by all rights, by national history, cultural animosity, and political conflict, his enemy. To not just know the law, but to live the law, which is the law of love, means that our love should pour beyond those walls of earthly division. Enemy or not, it was to this man that God, it was this man that God had placed in the Samaritan's path. And so that brings us to our final piece of the parable. If by nature, apart from God, we are the man beaten and dying on the side of the road, then with God in Christ, we are called to be the Good Samaritan. You go and do likewise, Christ says. Christ is the Good Samaritan. He has saved us, redeemed us, bound up our wounds, and healed us. And we are Christians, little Christs, in whom Christ dwells as his temple. And so we are called, as we heard last week in the epistle lesson, to fulfill the law of Christ, which is the law of love. Not in order to earn our salvation, not to inherit eternal life, like the lawyer thought. That which you inherit is a gift given by one who dies, and eternal life is given to us by Christ who died. Our sins, even our sins of lovelessness, are healed by Christ. But if our love for our neighbor was motivated by our own desire for salvation, now that wouldn't really be love at all, would it? It would be self-serving. No, we are called to fulfill the law of Christ not in order to earn our salvation, but because we are called to live out who we truly are. We are Christians, little Christs. By faith, Christ is enthroned in our hearts. We are conformed to his image, and so we do not only know the law, but we walk in the law. It pervades our being. As we are filled up with God, it spills out. And so when we see our neighbor in need, whether it be a need of body or a need of soul, which we discussed last week, we do not pass by, but we stop, we help, we stoop down. In the name of Christ, our Good Samaritan, amen. You may rise for the offertory. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Merciful Lord, the Apostle Paul did not cease to pray for the church in Colossae, that she might be filled with the knowledge of your will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Stir up in us a spirit of intercession for our brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the world, that we might constantly remember them in prayer, even as they remember us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of the harvest, you have sent forth ministers in your name to proclaim your saving gospel and deliver sinners from darkness into your kingdom. Bless all pastors, such as the Reverend Brian, and church workers, such as the deaconess Kea, in their service to you, that they may be faithful in every responsibility placed upon them for our sake. Give us a willingness to hear the counsel of your word, to correct our errors, and repent of our sins. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, as you grant the length of days to many in our families and communities, you bless us with their wisdom and grant us the opportunity to live out your love for them. Help us rightly to treasure them as they grow in weakness and need. Deepen their trust in your strength to bear and your power to save. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, as you have granted us to live in a nation where your people may still gather without fear, bless our leaders with your wisdom and guard us from the rising ungodliness in our land. Protect us also, those also like Sean, who defend us from external threats, that your gospel may be preached boldly and continue to bear fruit and grow. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, because of the love you have for us all, the saints, we pray to you to heal the sick, relieve the suffering, comfort the grieving, and give peace to the dying. Especially do we name before you Pauline, Kelly, Kirk, Edie, Joyce, Angie, Grace, Kirsten, Jordan, Aubrey, Maya, and Patricia, and all those we lift to you in our hearts. Strengthen them all by your power. Help them endure this trial, and help them bear the good fruit of faith even in their affliction. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, as your Son has carried us through baptism into the safety of his church and provided for our continued care with the gifts of his body and blood, help us to abide in this place of refuge and to rightly rejoice in his gracious care. Lord, in your mercy. Everlasting Lord, you have been faithful to us, who deserve none of your mercies. Lead us to receive them with grateful hearts and be faithful unto death, that we may receive the crown of everlasting life. Hear us in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, through whom, with whom, and in whom be all honor and glory, both now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Thank you. Couple announcements before we go. Ladies Aid will be meeting this Tuesday, July 15th at 7 p.m. All ladies are invited. The Endowment Committee also will be meeting after church today, so if you're part of that, please go to that. We are continuing to collect the tabs for Ronald McDonald House Charity, so keep bringing those in. And there's also a helpful list on the back of things that the seminary co-op needs. Although a lot of the students are gone for the summer, there's still a lot who are around and still relying on the co-op. And I think that is it for announcements. Anything I have missed? Okay. Depart in peace.